morning. I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Mark, and we're going to begin reading with Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse number 21. Mark chapter 5, beginning with the 21st verse. And the Bible said, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, when Jairus saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed and that she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed and thronged him. And then in order to read the rest of this story, we have to drop down to verse number 35. The woman with the issue of blood is what interrupts Jairus' story. So if you will drop down to verse 35, and it says, and while Jesus yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he sees the tumult, the commotion, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come into the house, he said unto them, why make you this ado? Why make you all of this commotion, and why do you weep? The damsel is not dead. She is asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he took the father and mother of the damsel that were there with him, and they entered into where the damsel was laying. And he took the damsel by hand and said unto her, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were all astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and then he commanded that they should give her something to eat. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask you to bow your heads and we'll pray together. Ask the Lord for his help. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are an unchanging God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a God that we can depend upon. We thank you this morning, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I feel is resting in this house. And I pray that you would anoint me with that presence of the Lord. Give me liberty to speak. Enable me to be your instrument this morning. Put your words in my mind, in my heart, and in my mouth. I pray, Heavenly Father, that everything that is said and everything that is done here this morning will be done to glorify Jesus and to edify the body of Christ. Speak to our hearts today through the word, I pray. And for all of these things, Lord, we will be eternally grateful and thankful, and we ask them In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. So I want to title what I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart, Delayed but Not Defeated. Delayed but Not Defeated. As we begin to look at the text this morning, I would first of all like to point out to you that chapter 4 and chapter 5 of the book of Mark are an action-packed, display of the supernatural power of God. At the close of chapter 4, we find the Bible said that Jesus says to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." And they set sail, and in the midst of the journey to the other side, there arises a great storm. And we see Jesus rising up in the boat and saying, "Peace, be still." And the disciples were so blown away with the display of the power that he exercised that they looked at one another and they said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They no sooner land on the other shore, and chapter 5 opens with Jesus meeting Legion, the man who is demonically possessed. The Bible said that he is so demonically possessed that he is in the tombs both day and night, crying out and cutting himself. And the Bible said that he had been often chained, but he would break the chains and no man could control him. And Jesus walks up to Legion and says, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion." And Jesus said, "Go." And he cast out the demonic spirits with the word of his power. And we come, as you're reading down the chapter, the man that was so demonically possessed said, "Lord, I want to go with you." And Jesus said, "No, I don't want you to do that. Instead, I want you to go back and testify what great things God has done for you." Jesus turned him into an evangelist. Hello? And then the Bible said that they get back in the boat and they go back to the other side. They travel by night and they go back to the other side. And when they get to the other side, they run into the woman with the issue of blood, and then Jairus shows up and his daughter needs a touch from the Lord. And it's just a powerful, packed display of the mighty power of God that rested upon Jesus. But I would like to point out to you this morning the fact that while all of these miracles were separate events, they also transpired one after the other. They were consecutive miracles. I mean, they travel from one shore, he calms the storm in the midst of the sea, and then they get to the other side, he casts out the demonic spirit, they turn around and they head back to the other side, and there's the woman with the issue of blood, and then he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. So while we often, and I have done it, I have preached on those individual things. And while we often think that they were separate events, they actually were connected with one another. They were consecutive. They transpired one right after the other. And so we understand that though they were separate miracles, that in reality they were interconnected. And there is a very powerful connection between the woman with the issue of blood and with Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. And it is that connection that I want to speak to you about this morning. The Bible says that Jesus comes back from the other side and he is nigh unto the sea. And in your mind's eye this morning, or in the theater of your mind, if you will, I want you to picture what that day must have looked like. Jesus has cast out the demonic spirit. They have traveled back across the water, and they are arriving at daybreak. The sun is coming up over the mountains. And already there is a large crowd that has gathered themselves to meet Jesus. They are eagerly anticipating his arrival. They are eagerly anticipating his show. They were there to hear him teach, and they were there to see his miracles that he performed. They were there to be touched by God. They were there. Some of them had needs in their own lives. Some came to see him meet the needs of others. But there was a large crowd that had come, and they were eager to find out what this teacher and this rabbi and this miracle worker would do next. And the crowd has gathered around while they are nigh unto the sea. The boat comes ashore, and there's already a group of people gathering at the shoreline and pressing up toward the boat, waiting to get to Christ. And in the midst of that crowd, in the midst of that crowd comes one by the name of Jairus. Jairus is a man who is clothed with prestige, position, privilege, power. He comes and he is clothed with wealth and resources. He is respected and well connected in the community. He was a ruler in the synagogue. He was a man of authority and influence. And yet, despite all of his influence and all of his authority, and despite his position, and despite his resources, and despite all of his connections, he was not able to exempt himself from the tragedies of life. And as he makes his way through that crowd, I can see the crowd begin to kind of part, step aside. He was a man of influence. He was a man of privilege and power. And when he began to approach Jesus, others sort of step back. And he makes his way to the master. And he falls upon his feet. Here, a man of privilege and power and authority, despite all of his connections and despite all of his influence, he found out that there are some things in life that influence and power and prestige and money cannot answer. Let me just share with you this morning that there are some things in this life that it doesn't matter what kind of position or what kind of prestige your name carries. Amen. There are some things that can happen in this life that it doesn't matter what kind of money you got in the bank account. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive or how well connected you be. Amen. Might be, but there are some things that can happen in life that only the master can touch and only the master can change. And Jairus comes to Jesus and falls at his feet. He finds himself powerless and helpless. He finds himself vulnerable and defenseless. And he comes and he kneels at the master's feet. And he is a broken man. His little child, his little girl, is at home sick and about to die. My wife and I, we have three boys. I've always said we got eeny, meeny, miny, and we ain't having no mo. But we have three boys. Somebody asked us when we were having children, are you going to try again? My wife said, no, I think I've given up on the idea of having a girl. And then I see girls getting married and their fathers going, oh, my God. I'm like, you know, I think God spared me. I don't think I could do it. So can you imagine how Jairus must have felt? His precious little girl we start having grandchildren, and we got a grandbaby, grandson, and then finally a granddaughter come along, and I'm like, oh my God. And she looked at me and go, Papa, and I go, what, honey? Whatever you want. Hello? So can you imagine how Jairus must have felt? He has stood by, helpless, without any ability to intervene as his little girl is dying day by day. Moment by moment, she's not getting better. She is getting worse and worse. And he has called the best doctors in town, and he has called all of his friends in the synagogue and said, hey, y'all need to pray. He's done everything that he could do, and his baby is getting worse. And at the point of death, and he comes and he falls at the feet of Jesus and says, the Bible says, and he besought him saying, my little girl dies, is lying at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her. Come and lay your hands on her. And if you can just get there and put your hands on her, I know that you are a miracle worker. I know that if you can just get there and put your hands on her, my baby will be okay. Please come. Please, I pray thee. And Jesus comes. The Bible says that he went with him. He goes with him. Look at verse 24. And Jesus went with him. Jesus didn't say anything to him. There were no words exchanged. Jairus just made his appeal, and Jesus went with him. Jesus went with him. And in my heart this morning, I can only imagine how Jairus must have felt when he had got the attention of the Lord and they were moving in the right direction. They were going to Jairus' house. There is a glimmer of hope that lights across the heart of Jairus. If we can just keep walking, if we can just hurry up and get there, if these people will just get out of the way, if there are no hiccups, if there are no sidetracks, if there are no bunny trails, if nothing comes up, we're on our way to my house. If my baby girl can just hold on a little longer. And then suddenly, it happened. I don't know about you, but I can see it unfold in my mind. Jairus is thinking, thank God he's coming. And they're moving in the right direction. And then suddenly, Jesus stopped. And said, who touched me? Who touched me? What a silly question. Even the disciples said, Lord, what do you mean who touched you? There are people all around us. What do you mean who bumped it? Who touched you? Jesus said, no, you don't understand. Wasn't that kind of a touch. It was a touch of faith. It was an intentional touch. It was a touch that, it was a desperate touch. It was a touch that needed a need met. And I felt virtue. I felt power go out of me. I felt the anointing of God being released. Somebody touch me. And all the while, Jairus is standing there going, come on, Jesus. Focus. Who touched me? And there she was. She was a woman that had broken the law. You see, in her condition, she was according to the law, not supposed to touch anyone, much less a teacher or a rabbi. There she was. The Bible says she was a certain woman, and her story is inserted right in the middle of Jairus' story. Her story is inserted right in the middle of Jairus' story. And Jesus is delayed because of her actions. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? The Bible said a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, how many of you know 12 years is a long time to suffer with the same situation? And the Bible said that she had suffered many things of many physicians, and she was not getting any better, but rather she grew worse. She had been to every physician, and they were unable to help her. And the Bible said in verse 27 of that same chapter of the fifth book, amen, or the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, the Bible said, and when she heard of Jesus, she heard that he was a miracle worker. She heard that if you can get to him, he'll make you whole. She heard that he was Messiah. She heard that this Christ, amen, this man, he could make a difference in her situation. And when she heard, she said within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be made whole. And so, unknowing to anyone, as Jesus and Jairus are making their way to Jairus' house, the certain woman slips through the cracks and the crevices of the crowd and says within herself, I'll just touch the hem of his garment. Nobody will know. Nobody will see. I'll get what I need. They'll go on their way, and everything will be all right for everybody. And Jesus suddenly stops and says, who touched me? Now, in this moment, I'm sure there arose a really large fear, because she knew that she had just broken the law. And the Bible says that she came and she told him all that was done unto her. When she touched the hem of his garment, she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague and she was set free. And so she comes to Jesus and she shares with him all. The Bible said in verse 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, fell down before him and told him all of the truth. Amen. Not only has Jesus stopped his progress to get to Jairus' daughter, but now Jairus has to stand there and listen to the woman give her testimony. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now Jairus has got to wait, and I don't want to make any of the ladies mad, but most of the time y'all don't get right to the point. Hello? I don't know if y'all are like my help, but I don't normally get the abbreviated version. So I don't know how this conversation went, but you know, I mean, she been 12 years. That's a lot bottled up. She has been 12 years suffering, and she probably had a very long story. And the Bible says specifically that she told Jesus all the truth. All the truth. And Jairus is standing there going, come on, woman, can you talk a little faster? I have a need at my house. My daughter is laying at the point of death. If we don't leave now, we should have already been there. If we don't leave now, my baby
is going to die. And Jesus doesn't seem to be in a hurry. He lets her tell him all of the truth. And then Jesus says, daughter. Now he's going to take the time to minister personally to her. Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Lord. All the while, Jairus is standing there on pins and needles. All the while, he's standing there thinking to himself as he checks out his, time at, come on, Lord. We need to go. We need to get there. Time is wasting. Time is wasting. And Jesus begins to minister, her daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. And then the Bible says, and you will find it in verse number 35, that as Jesus is speaking to her, just as Jesus is speaking to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Verse 35 said, and while he yet spake, while Jesus was speaking to her, there came someone from the ruler's house and said, it's too late. Your daughter is already dead. Don't trouble the master any further. Can you imagine this morning how that father's heart dropped to his feet? His worst nightmare had just come to pass. All because this woman cut in line. All because this woman touched him and his answer was delayed. His answer was not coming. Why bother the master anymore? And Jesus, the Bible said, as soon as he heard the words that were delivered unto Jairus, he said, don't be afraid, only believe. I come to tell somebody this morning, amen, I know you've been going through some hell and some high water, but I came to tell you, don't be afraid. The answer may not have came when you thought it ought to have come, but don't be afraid. Delays are not defeats. God is still on the throne now. Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John. And they go to the house and they walk up to the house. And you have to understand that in that day, they literally hired mourners. So Jairus, being a man of influence and a man of power, I'm sure they got the deluxe package. They had the supreme mourners out there, and I'm sure they were wailing and carrying on, and they wore thin clothing so they could rip their robes, and Jesus walks into the midst of all, the Bible says in the King James, in the midst of all of that ado, all of that commotion, all of that ruckus, all of that, and there, no doubt there was some that were truly grieving. And Jesus walks into the midst of all of that and says, why are you all making such a fuss? That's the loose white translation. Why are you all making such a fuss? She's not dead. She is only asleep. And I'm sure some of these professional mourners thought to themselves, I don't know who this guy is, but I've been around death and I know the girl died. What do you mean? And the Bible said that they laughed Jesus to scorn. They laughed. They mocked him. They didn't know who they were dealing with. Could you say amen? And they didn't know that delays didn't equal defeat. Not when God's involved. And the Bible said that Jesus put all of them out. He took the father and the mother and the disciples that were with him. He goes into the chamber where the young girl was, takes her by the hand and says, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And her eyes opened up as she sat up, stood up, and began to walk around. And everybody that was there was astonished. Let me just tell you this morning that there are three things that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about this story that I want to share with you. Three brief things that I would like to share with you. The first lesson that we can learn, from this setting of text is that we can learn that when we are in a desperate situation, we need to call or cry out unto the Lord. Let me just tell you, we are often trying to resolve the issue ourselves. We are often seeking the advice of others. We are often running here and there and here, trying to find out what everybody thinks. I'm not saying that we should forsake godly counsel, but what I am saying is that when we face a desperate situation, the first place that we need to go is to the Lord. We need to cry out unto God. Amen. Jairus is hurting and his daughter is dying. And if you are a parent, you can only imagine what he must have felt like. Amen. But in his frustration and in his desperation, he finds his way to the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that's exactly the example that we need to follow. When we find ourselves in a situation or in a circumstance that is much larger than ourselves, we need to run unto the Lord. King David said in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 7, David said when he found himself in trouble, he said, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out unto my God, and he did hear my voice, and my cry did enter into his ears." He said, "In my distress, I called unto the Lord." Can I tell you today, that's some really good advice. When you find yourself in a distressing situation, call out to the Lord, and God has said he will hear your cry. Psalms 34 and 15, the Bible said, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ear is open unto their cry." Verse 17 of that same 34th chapter said, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth them and delivereth them out of all of their trouble." Psalms 40 and 1, the Bible said, "I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry." Psalm 61 and 2, the Bible said, "From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee, and when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I, because he has been a shelter and a fortress for my life." Call unto the Lord. Cry out unto the Lord. Jeremiah 33 and 3, God says, "Call unto me." That's an invitation. "Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not." Isaiah 58 and 9 says, "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I." Psalms 50 and verse 15 says, "Call upon me in your day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me." Amen. I'm telling you, when you get in trouble, the first thing that we need to learn from this setting of text is we need to learn to call upon the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Call upon the Lord. Number two, the second lesson that we can learn from the text is that when we are delayed, we need to continue to trust God's timing. Hello? When the answer don't come when we think it ought to come, we need to relax, be patient, and trust God's timing. I have always said, God is never late, but he's missed a lot of opportunities to be early. Hello? That's according to my timetable. Because when I have a need, I want it met now. Hello? But let me just share with you something this morning that we learned from our text. Often, when the answer doesn't come when we think it should come, it doesn't mean that the answer isn't going to come. Hello? When the answer doesn't come when we think it ought to, doesn't mean that it ain't gonna happen. Delays do not equal defeat. Your answer may be being delayed, but I'm telling you, it doesn't mean that you are going to end up defeated. When the answer doesn't come when we think it should come, we need to just continue to trust God. Jesus immediately goes with Jairus without any conversation between the two of them. He just simply goes, and then he is interrupted, and Jairus's miracle is delayed. But that didn't mean that it wasn't going to happen. Jesus takes the time to connect with the woman, minister to the woman, tell her that she's been made whole and that she's been complete, and that he speaks peace in her life, and he speaks healing and salvation over her. Amen. And all the while, Jairus is sitting there thinking, man, this situation is going from bad to worse. And it did. They show up and say that his little girl had died. Wasn't the answer Jairus was looking for. Can I tell you that sometimes when we pray, God doesn't always answer the way we think he should answer or when we think he should answer. Sometimes we don't get the answer that we're looking for. I have found over the years that God usually answers in about four ways. Number one, God answers directly. God gives us an immediate answer. Illustration, Peter is sinking on the water, and he said, Lord, save me, and Jesus immediately saved him. Sometimes God answers differently. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he said, three times I prayed that God would remove it. And God said, I'm going to answer your prayer, but I'm going to answer it in a different way than what you think. You're going to receive my grace, and my grace is sufficient for you. According to Scripture, God never moved that thorn. He just gave Paul grace to receive it. Third, sometimes God denies our request because it's not in his will. Even Jesus faced that prayer, that unanswered no, that word no. When Jesus was praying in the garden, he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And God couldn't take that. He couldn't answer that prayer in the affirmative. The fourth way that God answers prayer is often his answer is yes, but not right now. Yes, but not right now. You remember the story of Lazarus. Lazarus is sick unto death. They send to Jesus and said, the friend whom you love is not well. You better hurry up and come. And Jesus intentionally stayed for another 4 days. And when he shows up in Bethany, Lazarus is already dead. And you can almost hear the sarcasm in Martha's voice. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Hello? She was put out. But let me just tell you, delays are not defeat. Jesus simply knew that, you know, he would receive more glory raising Lazarus from the dead than just healing his sickness. So the thing that I want to stress to you this morning is that when we suffer delay in our prayers, or we suffer the lack of an answer and it doesn't come when we think that it should, remember that delays are not defeats. We need to continue to trust the timing of the Lord, because God can take a Joseph who was thrown in a pit and thrown in a prison and elevate him. God can take that kind of delay and elevate him and make him the prime minister of Egypt. Amen. God can move and God can do great things when we continue to trust His word. Continue to trust His word. The third lesson that we can learn from our text is that when we receive bad news, we need to keep walking with the Lord. Jairus got about the worst news that he could get. And Jesus said, "Be not afraid. Only believe." Let's just keep walking. Let me just share with you this morning. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to somebody. Your answer hasn't come when you thought it ought to come. Amen. Don't give up on God. Don't be quick to throw in the towel. Wait on God's timing. Keep walking with the Lord. And in the end, He'll bring His word to pass. Hallelujah. No doubt Jairus, when he heard the words that his little girl had died, he must have thought to himself, it's too late now. We missed our window of opportunity. It's too late. There's no hope. She's dead. And grief gripped his heart. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. Only believe. Let me tell you this morning that the best news that turns all of bad news into good news is that with God, all things are possible. You remember when Ezekiel stepped out into a valley full of dead bones, and God said to Ezekiel, "Can this valley of bones live again?" And Ezekiel said, "Oh, Lord God, you know, I'm here to tell you, amen, it may look past the window and past the hope or past the time, but keep walking with God, and God will bring about your miracle in your life." Fear says give up. Faith says keep walking. Fear says you'll never make it. Faith says only believe. Fear says you're going under, and faith says not a chance. I'm going over. Fear says you can't, and faith says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Fear says, amen, that you are finished, but God says, amen, you're an overcomer and a victor through Him. Amen, amen, amen. Conclusion this morning. When heartache comes, only believe. When delays come, only believe. Delays are not defeats. When situations arise and the answer doesn't come when we think that it should, keep walking with God. Keep trusting God. Keep your hand in His hand. And watch what God can do. He's done some pretty fabulous things down through the years. Children of Israel backed up against the Red Sea and an army of Egypt coming right at them and no way out. God said, not a problem. Moses, stretch out your rod. And the water parted. And they went across on dry ground. I said, He's done some pretty amazing things. Three Hebrew children said, "We ain't gonna bow." Amen. "We ain't gonna bow before your idol." And they threw them in the furnace. And when they checked on the furnace, amen, the servant said to the king, amen, "There are four in there. One looks like the Son of God." I said, "He's done some pretty spectacular stuff in the past." You say, "Well, that was for them. I don't know if He'll do that for me." He's no respecter of persons. He didn't love them any more than He loves you. He's no respecter of persons. The key to the thing is that we got to keep trusting in the Lord, and we got to keep walking with the Lord. And when we keep walking with Him, When the bottom falls out of life, only believe. When the answer to the prayer seems delayed, only believe. When we are ridiculed for our faith, only believe. When we are looking at a hopeless situation, look at the mighty God who created the universe and know that your problems are not too big for him. Trust in the Lord this morning. Trust in the Lord. Bow your heads, if you will, please, all over the building today. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to share these scriptures. Thank you for the opportunity and the anointing I felt to minister this word. Father God, today I would pray that if there would be one here today that is facing a desperate situation in their heart, in their life, that you would let them understand the necessity of calling upon your name, the necessity of trusting in your timing, and the necessity of continuing to walk with you in their life. Speak to our hearts today, I pray, O God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you here this morning? Are you here this morning as we have prayed in the name of the Lord? Are you here today and you are facing a situation, a circumstance, a problem, a desperate need in your life? God sees hands. Yes, 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 yes. That's what God wanted me to share with you this morning. If you lifted your hand, God is saying to you, call upon him. He'll answer you. The answer may have been delayed, but keep trusting my timing. I work all things out for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. I make all things beautiful in their time, God says. If you're here this morning and you are facing a desperate situation, it may not look good right now, but hang on. That just means God is not done yet. Trust his timing. Trust his timing. Delays are not defeats. Keep walking with him. Don't allow the enemy to separate you in any way. Keep walking with him. And in the end, others may laugh like they did at Jairus' house. Others may laugh. Others may scorn. But in the end, when God causes that situation to come to life, you'll have the last laugh. Hands lifted here this morning. Stand to your feet all over the building, if you will, please. Situation, you know that need. And Lord, it ain't come when we thought it ought to come. But Father, this morning we are going to trust your timing. We're going to be patient and wait upon God until the answer comes. Until the answer comes. We'll walk with you, our hand in your hand. Our hand in your hand. Help us this morning, Lord, not to lose sight of these three valuable lessons connected to this text. I ask it in Jesus' name.